Good morning. My name is Carolina, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Elementia Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be questions and answers after the speaker's opening remarks, and instructions will be given at that time. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Ana Lourdes Benavides, Investor Relations Officer of Elementia. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Carolina. Good morning and welcome to Elementia's fourth quarter 2017 earnings conference call. We really appreciate your participation in this call. On the call with me are Fernando Ruiz-Jack, our Chief Executive Officer, and Juan Francisco Sánchez-Carmen, our Chief Financial Officer. Please be advised that this call is for investors and analysts only. During this call, we will discuss Elementia's performance as per the earnings release issued yesterday after the market close. The report is also available at www.elementia.com in the Investor Relations section. Let me remind you that forward-looking statements discussed today are based on current expectations and are subject to certain risks and uncertainties. Actual results could differ because of factors mentioned in the earnings release, in today's call, and in the risk factors section of our reports filed with the Mexican Stock Exchange. We do not undertake any duty to update any forward-looking statements. For further information, please refer to the disclaimer included in the earnings release. Also, bear in mind that all figures discussed are in Mexican pesos and quarterly variations are computed against the same quarter of the previous year, while cumulative variations are computed as compared to the same period of the previous year, unless otherwise stated. Finally, and as you may have noted in the earnings report, we are including once again volume and price variations for our cement division. Please bear in mind that this level of disclosure is strategically sensitive in our industry, and we may need to reduce it in the future should market conditions arise. As usual, today's call is being webcast live and recorded. You can replay today's call and review its corresponding transcript on our investor relations website. It's now my pleasure to introduce our Chief Executive Officer, who will begin the presentation with a review of the main quarterly highlights as well as strategic overview. Fernando, please go ahead.
Thank you, Ana, and welcome everyone. Thank you again for taking the time to join us here today. I will begin by saying that while this year came with many challenges, some of which we anticipated and others we did not, such as the natural disasters and higher than expected energy costs. Nevertheless, the entire Elementia team has stepped up to the challenge, facing adversities like an unstoppable force. Together, as one, we're able to overcome the obstacles, achieve profitable growth, both sales and EBITDA, and make significant strides towards reaching our vision of Elementia 2.0. The Elementia 2.0 project will enable us to transition from a silo-oriented company to a midterm stage that will eventually take us from offering a product-based portfolio to providing comprehensive solutions that serve all stages of the construction industry, that is from groundworks to interior finishing and facades, geared towards and inspired on improving customer experience as well as on generating efficiencies and value throughout the chain. Throughout these years, we have gained a strong understanding and expertise in the construction industry. Having said that, in order to leverage our strengths and know-how, Elementia 2.0 considers both the traditional construction business and the sustainable light building construction system. In both tracks, innovation is key to our success. Moreover, in the latter, we aim to incorporate state-of-the-art technology and leverage on our strong distribution network to play a key role in the industrialization of the construction industry, mainly in Latin America in the medium term and across other regions in the longer term. But why mainly in Latin America? First, we see more opportunities for innovation and process standardization. Second, the region also represents a huge opportunity due to home deficits and significant infrastructure needs, which will inevitably continue to grow as more and more people join the economically active population. Additionally, the continuous migration to cities is and will continue driving the shift towards vertical instead of horizontal construction. Nevertheless, as I just mentioned, these drivers also represent significant opportunities in other regions, which we will definitely continue to explore in the long term. As such, in 2017, Elementia continued to evolve in an inch closer to the power of one, which encompasses our company's strategic vision and Elementia 2.0, by creating a separate and independent entity with its own resources and personnel, which in 2018 will focus on carrying out a pilot project to test some of the business model's hypothesis by offering a product portfolio that includes both Elementia and third-party products. I am confident in the fact that we have laid the foundation for continued development and growth in this project and are well on our way towards our ultimate goal of becoming a comprehensive solution supplier. Now, prior to reviewing the quarterly operating performance, I would like to discuss a few of the most significant projects and milestones achieved in 2017. First, I would like to elaborate on the cement into Elementia. As you know, 2017 was a year of transition for its plans and of preparation towards its expected growth plans, based on catching up with the industry trends in both market growth and price trends. I would also add that although it has not been an easy task, mainly due to the status of the assets and organizational climate, we have made significant progress in the standardization of operational performance and product reliability by bringing assets back to industry standards. Moreover, the expected CapEx program was carried out according to plan in 2017 and foreseeing an additional $20 to $30 million per year for the coming 2018 and 2019. More importantly, we fulfilled around 80% of the positions that have been vacant for a long period of time, despite close to full employment in the U.S., as according to our plan, these positions were key for Giant's well performance. Second, the Tula's ramp-up, which has been nothing less than outstanding. Ever since we began commercial operations in July, results have exceeded all expectations. I dare say that we will be able to meet our goal of full capacity operations sooner than expected, since by the end of 2017, we have already got close to 80% capacity utilization of the full system. One of the many initiatives contributing to this success is our new sack bulk mix, which we altered slightly from a mix of 70-30 to a mix of 60-40. We believe that this strategy supported us in increasing sales volume, as it allows us to continue serving the self-construction segment while maintaining quality standards. It is also important to mention that we expect to go back to our original 70-30 mix in the coming years and continue to strictly adhere to our premium brand, higher quality, and top quartile pricing in the markets in which we operate. Third, the reopening and beginning of commercial operation of our Indiana plant just a couple of weeks ago. For those of you who are not familiar with Elementia, this is our largest fiber cement plant in the U.S., which was idled back in 2014 to optimize the total installed capacity utilization of the system. Its installed capacity is approximately the equivalent of the sum of the other two plants, which are located in Oregon and North Carolina. As we have been emphasizing throughout 2017, we worked on preparing the market by shipping products mainly from other facilities in the U.S. to the Indiana region. While this affected our operating margins in 2017, due to the extended logistics and preparational expenses, we have learned from past experiences, as such is in the case of Tula, that this is an investment worth making as it has helped us to partially allocate the plant's additional capacity. Fourth, the footprint expansion of the cement division. In September, we held the groundbreaking ceremony of our new $17 million grinding facility in Costa Rica. We are happy to report that the project is progressing according to plan, and we expect to begin operations towards the end of the first half of 2018. Costa Rica brings great market opportunities as our installed capacity of over 2,050 tons, which represents 50% of the total market demand, will allow us to supply the main raw materials used in the production of fiber cement products by our Pleasant brand in the country. And finally, we successfully completed the refinancing program announced in 2016, and I will let Juan Francisco go over the details of this achievement later on. Now, let's move on to the operating performance. In 2017, Elementia posted revenue and EBITDA growth of 35 and 24% respectively. On a pro forma basis, that is, considering Giant since January 2016, sales and EBITDA grew 11 and 7% respectively in 2017. This result was mainly driven by our Mexican cement operation, which posted extraordinary growth and offset the temporary challenges faced by our metal products and building systems divisions, as well as additional costs and expenses due to a transitional year at our U.S. cement operation. Starting with the Mexican cement operations, we experienced another consecutive quarter of strong results. Both revenues and EBITDA significantly rose by 48 and 76% respectively compared to the fourth quarter of 2016. These results were achieved primarily due to the operations of the cement capacity expansion in Tula, driven by high acceptance of our products in the region, and despite a slowdown in the demand during October because of the rainy season and the aftermath of the September earthquake in Mexico City and to energy cost headwinds. Also, contributing to the results is the fact that the self-construction indicators in Mexico continue to be strong, reaffirming that our focus on the self-construction segment continues to be the most resilient throughout the years, and our aim is to ensure its continued success going forward. In terms of pricing, 2017 was another year of of increase following the previous year trends, which also contributed to our results. Overall, we are optimistic on Cement Mexico and believe that volume growth and pricing trends look solid in the first half of 2018, but perhaps not as consistently strong as in 2017, mainly due to some uncertainty related to the presidential election period and its trend to sharply decrease government infrastructure projects. Our accelerated growth now includes presence in 21 Mexican states compared to 15 states in 2016. The first months of the year continue to look strong, and for the rest of the year, a number of projects, both private and public, including the airport project, will continue to drive market demand. In U.S. cement operations, Giant registered lower volume sold and EBITDA compared to the fourth quarter and full year 2016. Results were impacted by the CapEx and OpEx program to bring assets back to industry standards and by the expected seasonality, which began early in the quarter and was harsher than that registered during the fourth quarter of 2016. At this point, I would like to emphasize that we expect to continue to see the effects of harsher winter conditions through the first quarter of 2018, as January and February weather conditions have been reflected in the operations. As we did last year, we're taking advantage of the weather to do major maintenance and yearly overhaul works. I will add, however, that we were able to keep supplying the market requests due to inventory buildup. It is also important to mention that we did face higher costs in the U.S. cement operations during 2017 for two main reasons. The first one being the additional OPEX for maintenance preventive measures, which will affect 2018 to a certain degree. But this amount will eventually normalize to industry standards. Our goal with these measures is to be more efficient in terms of maintenance costs and put more an emphasis, once again, on prevention and on ensuring operations continuity and reliability. And unsteady operations due to continuous works related to bringing back the assets to industry standards and an increase in energy costs. On the upside, Giant's operations have stabilized even further since November. In 2018, we plan to move from a transition year towards the second phase of Giant's integration. This year will be the start of our volume recovery and the strengthening of our market share. Moreover, 2018 will set the foundation for the following years, where our goal is to keep closing the existing capacity utilization gap and begin closing the price gap between our product and that of the industry's average. Moving on, in the fourth quarter, the metal product division registered a 5% increase in revenues, despite a 5% decrease in volume and a 13% decrease in EBITDA, mainly due to lower demand during the period as a result of the aftermath of the earthquake that took place in Mexico City, the hurricanes in the U.S. and the Caribbean in the third quarter of 2017, as well as significantly higher energy costs. Volumes were also affected since we decided to abandon several South American markets due to rising competition from China and in an effort of staying true to our strategy and focus on higher value products. Despite the obstacles faced in 2017, including copper prices and FX volatility, we expect energy headwinds to ease in 2018 and are confident that the metal products division will begin a recovery period during 2018 that should be more in line with its 2016 levels. We anticipate a more favorable market environment since we identified several businesses opportunities toward year-end 2017, including a recovery in the demand from construction, the recovery of the oil and gas and naval industry in the U.S., and we see also tremendous potential on enhancing and leveraging our historically renowned and high reputation of our Narcobre brand, as well as its strong distribution channels to expand our commercialization activity by offering services and products that tackle end customer needs. Now turning finally to the Building Systems division, the division growth and recovery at a consolidated level continues to be supported by the successful results of the go-to-market strategy we have discussed throughout these past months. However, due to unfavorable weather conditions and natural disasters throughout a significant part of our geographical coverage, higher costs for new product launching and logistic costs derived from by the reopening of the Indiana plant and a one-off reported in Colombia, as well as the macroeconomic challenges faced in Colombia, during the fourth quarter, this division experienced 10% lower revenues and a 57% decrease in EBITDA. Part of the EBITDA is related to a $20 million investment made in the launch of a novel product with new technology across Latin America, which allows less breakage during transportation and represents great advantages to both our distributors and final users. I am very proud about the progress made and pleased to share with you that so far it has had an extraordinary acceptance among our clients. Nevertheless, and in all modesty, we are planting today for tomorrow's harvest. In other words, we are at an initial stage, and thereby going through a steep learning curve that should at least extend to the next quarters. Focusing on each region, first, in the U.S., our go-to-market strategy continues to demonstrate results, and the step we took with the top U.S. residential builders continues to yield positive outcomes. Despite one of our main competitors resolving its operational problems and recovering some of its clients, what we learned at the January International Builder Shows in Orlando is that the U.S. market seems to prefer to have a reliable supply alternative and is not willing to face supply restrictions again. Clients are eager to have access to a reliable alternative brand such as ours in the U.S., the Allura brand, which has proved to deliver excellent product quality and customer service. For this reason, the timing and startup of Indiana operations were crucial, as we plan to continue pursuing the top U.S. residential builders approach and develop markets throughout the Midwest during 2018. We continue to be optimistic about the U.S. market and are confident that our fiber cement home building products are a great alternative to wood, engineered wood, vinyl, and other traditional building materials, which are prone to damage from hail, termites, rot, fire, and manufacturing defects. Moreover, part of our success and distinguishing features are that our products stand up to weather conditions in any climate, are factory primed for life, and backed by an industry-leading 50-year warranty. Moving on to Mexico, results continue to be impacted by the aftermath of the earthquakes. And on the other hand, our latest approach to non-government projects, that is to retail, continue to prove successful. By year-end, volume from retail customers grew by more than 40%, partially offsetting the close to 60% decline in government projects. As we mentioned at the beginning of this call, there are several uncertainties linked to 2018 due to the upcoming election period. However, we will remain focused on mainly selling to private projects. In Central America, operations remain stable with moderate growth despite having lower volumes exported from El Salvador to Allura in the U.S. and socio-political problems in Honduras derived from the recent presidential re-election. We expect a stable outlook for the region in 2018. And finally, we continue to face some headwinds in the Andean region. Despite the fact that Peru presented a favorable economic scenario, corruption scandals have diminished growth potential in several industries, including the construction one. We also detected some irregularities in product coming from Colombia, and in an effort to sustain our promise of high-quality products, we opted to proactively recall these products, which, of course, came at a cost. Additionally, socio-political problems continue to affect Bolivia, while Ecuador remains stable, as there continues to be demand due to the floods and construction projects. Lastly, demand continues to be subdued in Colombia, despite government attempts to improve this situation by reducing interest rates and reactivating certain housing initiatives. We expect a slow but gradual recovery throughout 2018 after the country surpasses increasing political uncertainty, also related to presidential election period in the first half of the year. Before I conclude, I would like to stress the fact that while we have taken the necessary measures and initiatives that will take both our building systems and our cement division towards the right path, we foresee a challenging first quarter due to tough comps because of higher seasonality in the U.S. due to the harsh winter conditions and the aforementioned volume recovery gained by competition in building systems, impacting not only our U.S. operations, but also our Nuevo Laredo and Central America operations. Finally, we also foresee challenging times in the Andean region, mainly because of Colombia's macroeconomic condition that, as discussed before, we expect to prevail during 2018. I would finally like to give a warm welcome to Alfredo Reque, to the IR team. His 7-year trajectory in the company as treasurer has been exceptional, and I have no doubt he will continue to strengthen our communication bridges with the investor community and his new role as investor relations. Also, I would like to personally thank Anna for all her work and dedication to Elementia. Anna has decided to move on to new challenges, and we wish her the best of luck. Now, with this, I conclude my remarks, and I'll turn the call over to Juan Francisco Sánchez Kramer for further details on our financials. Juan, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fernando, and thank you all for being here with us today. As Fernando mentioned, one of our greatest accomplishments in 2017 was the successful completion of the refinancing program announced in 2016. This program consisted in three main strategies aimed to bring equilibrium between our dollar-based operations and dollar-denominated balance sheet items while maintaining a profitable growth and staying true to our policy of maintaining conservative leverage ratios. This includes refinancing the committed credit lines used to complete the payment of the convert, which was necessary to execute Giant's acquisition. In this matter, we obtained $350 million to build bilateral loans from Scotiabank, Bank and Citi, and the use of proceeds was 100% to prepay the committed credit lines. Second, exchanging short for long-term debt and thus releasing close to $200 million in cash from 2017 through 2019. By refinancing the committed credit lines, we managed to achieve a much comfortable maturity profile and having 98% of our gross debt as long-term. As a result, the company will not face any significant commitment in the next 7 years. And third, balancing variable and fixed income rates. For this, we hedge 50% of the Bancomex credit loan to reduce the interest rate risk on its floating rate to fixed rate for a fixed rate of 6.99% in Mexican pesos and a 12-year maturity. As a result, by year-end, we managed to significantly reduce our exposure to variable rates and manage 73% of our total debt to fixed rate. Additionally, we maintain what we believe to be a comfortable exposure with regards to currency mix and our debt and cash flow generation that we achieved in 2016. Having said that, in 2017, 55% of our debt is denominated in Mexican pesos and the remaining in US dollars, pretty much aligned to assets and cash and EBITDA generation. Aligned to our goal of deleveraging, net debt to EBITDA ratio and interest coverage are now 3.23, 3.9 times respectively, fully complying with covenants set by financial institutions and going in the right direction accordingly. I would also like to highlight that Alfredo was key to achieving all this, and I'm confident that his performance as investor relations will also contribute to Elementia's development. Welcome, Alfredo. The success of this program has been such that on December 21st, Moody's affirm Elementia's rating as BA2 and change the outlook to positive from stable. This outlook improvement reflects a stronger than anticipated credit profile compared to agencies' estimates and Elementia's track record of deleveraging in the last 12 months. Now turning to our financial performance, despite some obstacles faced at year end, like microeconomic volatility in several of the countries in which we operate, increasing energy costs and further impacts from natural disasters across the regions, consolidated revenues posted a double-digit growth of 12% to 6.1 billion pesos for the quarter, and 5% on a pro forma basis. This result was mainly due to higher prices across our three businesses and to the extraordinary operating performance of the cement division in Mexico. Overall, to give you a better idea on our performance for 2017, revenues totaling 26 billion pesos were broken down as follows. 18 came from Cement Mexico, 17% from Cement US, for a combined 35% for the Cement division, 33% for Building Systems, and 32% for Metal Products. In terms of EBITDA, this line item rose 24%, reaching 4.4 billion pesos in 2017, and 7% on a pro forma basis. With an EBITDA margin of 17%, for the fourth quarter, EBITDA increased 2%, reaching 1 billion pesos, driven by the cement performance in Mexico, which helped to offset the division's performance in the U.S. and the contraction reported in the Building Systems and Metal Products division during. Now, the breakdown division by division in terms of EBITDA is as follows. 44% came from Cement Mexico, 12% from Cement in the U.S., therefore a consolidated Cement already representing 56% of consolidated EBITDA, 21% from Building Systems, and the remaining 24% from Metal Products. Furthermore, our EBITDA generation in the U.S. or linked to the U.S. dollar as of 2016 represented 44%. Again, this is aligned with the equilibrium we look for between cash flow and debt position. Going further in detail in the performance of each division. The Mexican operations for the cement division continue reaching new heights. Once again, revenue surpassed expectations totaling 1.3 billion pesos, a growth of 48%. As a result of the implemented strategy to ramp up the capacity expansion at Tula facility during the first half of 2017, higher operating efficiencies and the state-of-the-art technology, EBITDA and EBITDA margin had significantly improved in this quarter. For instance, EBITDA was 582 million pesos, soaring 76% compared to fourth quarter 16, and EBITDA margin was by 8% points, 47%. It is also important to highlight that in order to allocate the additional volume, we have temporarily changed the sales mix from more than 70% in bags to close to 60%, and the remaining in bulk, impacting our average price. Our premium brand, superior quality, and higher quartile pricing strategy remains unchanged. So, in a like-for-like basis on sales mix in 2016, our prices grew close to 11% in the fourth quarter and close to 15% for the full year. Now, for the U.S. operations on the cement division, revenues were down 12% and reaching 1.04 billion pesos during the quarter, and seasonality affected sales as expected. Although it is important to stress that 2015-2016 winter was milder than the average winter, while 2016-2017 winter was harsher than the average. Therefore, having a greater impact on year-over-year comparisons. Moreover, revenues were also hit by maintenance works carried out during the period in order to bring assets back to industry standards, as Fernando mentioned, which implied both CapEx and OPEX investment. The division's results for the fourth quarter reported a 50% decrease in EBITDA, mainly due to the transition and trust recovery process in the U.S. operations are undergoing, and to higher costs and expenses from maintenance works and groundwork preparation for the future growth, as well as one-offs that benefited October 2016. On the metal products division, as Fernando mentioned, faced many threats during the quarter, which led to an EBITDA slowdown of 13% in the quarter, caused by increasing power and gas prices throughout the year, which were partially offset by improved metal yields and the division's strategic focus on higher value-added products. Within the quarter, We also registered a $2 million one-off due to a lack of payment of a customer in the U.S., which filed for Chapter 11. Excluding this impact, EBITDA for the quarter showed a 2% growth when compared to the fourth quarter of 2016. Once again, our recommendation for the metal product division is to focus on EBITDA and EBITDA per ton, since our revenues are very much affected by the international price of copper. But our EBITDA generation is much more related to our own performance. Finally, the building system division has come a long way since a year back. As you may recall, this division faced many challenges throughout 2015 and 2016, which is why we took the decision and a roadmap along with BCG Consulting to help us turn around this business. The end result was a plan, which as Fernando mentioned, we called the go-to-market strategy. This plan was mainly designed for Mexico to redesign our approach to the market and market segments, and for the U.S. to accelerate our growth strategy and the reopening of our Indiana facility. Although we saw like 10% decrease in net sales during the quarter caused by demand contraction in the Andean region and adverse climate conditions in the other countries, we can say that overall implementation of this strategy has been a success. We started to see small glimpses of this turnaround in late 2016, and 1 year later, our efforts continued to revenue growth. In 2017, we reported 8.3 billion pesos in revenues, an increase of 7%, resulting mainly from higher volumes sold and the good level of acceptance of our products in US, Mexico, and Central America. That being said, in the fourth quarter 17, EBITDA for this division registered 94 million pesos. 12 months of 2017 EBITDA was below in 4%, which besides being impacted by the reason I just mentioned, it was also largely to the high investment and expenses related to the launching of new products and technology, where we are still at early stages implementation as mentioned before. As a result of the aforementioned and to additional logistic costs that our business in the U.S. faced during the year in preparation for the Indiana fiber cement plant reopening this year, the division's EBITDA margin was 11% in the year. The deterioration on the U.S. margin does significantly impact the building system division as a whole due to the fact that the U.S. operations already represent close to 30% of the division's EBITDA generation in 2017. And as expected, this will tend to increase as we carry out the Indiana's plan ramp up. Going back to consolidated figures, we show that working capital consumption mainly due to increasing inventories, which was concentrated in the metal products and building system divisions. Going to metal products, the main reason is copper price that increased more than 20%, going from $2.6 per pound to $3.10 per pound along the year. And also because of the slowdown in volumes in the last quarter due to the earthquake in Mexico. For building systems, it was mainly because of the launching of the new technology products, which has extended production time, the early arrival of a vessel with raw materials, and the slowdown of the demand in the U.S. due to the harsher winter. It is also important to highlight that we will continue with the plan to reduce inventories that we mentioned during the third quarter call. We believe that there is extraordinary opportunity to release cash flow from here. Our CapEx for 2017 was more than 2.5 billion pesos, mostly including investment in the U.S. cement and solar plants expansion in Mexico, along with organic CapEx that includes mainly maintenance and bolt-on expansions. For 2018, we have assigned around $90 million for CapEx, which will be broken down as follows. Around $60 million for maintenance and bolt-on expansions, and around $30 million for Giant cement operations in the U.S. Net income was also affected by higher financial costs since we increased close to 50% our gross debt in October 2016, which was partially compensated by a lower FX loss in 2017, reflecting an improvement in our debt mix, and higher net taxes reported, which increased in $574 million. It's important to highlight that incurred taxes declined $221 million, while deferred taxes increased $795 million, mainly due to the application of fiscal losses to the Mexican operations. Regarding taxes, for free cash flow, taxes showed a variation of $396 million, given that during 2017 we compensated more than recovered taxes, while in 2016 it was the opposite. We believe that 2018 comes along with our growth as our sound financial gives us the capability to continue seeking opportunities for regional expansion and product diversification to drive the long-term sustainable growth in our three divisions. Our commitment to continue searching for ways to enhance our leadership in the regions and markets we serve is stronger than ever. I would like to conclude my remarks by highlighting our focus on generating value to all our stakeholders by paying much more attention to capital allocation. And so, we will continue improving our ratios. Thank you for your attention, and I'm going to turn back the call for operator for Q&A.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that's star and one to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And your first question comes from Alejandra Obregón with Morgan Stanley. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thank you for the call and for the additional disclosure on volumes and pricing for division, by each division. We really appreciate that. My first question is on the metals division, on the write-offs that you are disclosing in this quarter. I was wondering if you could give us some color on the size of the impact, please. Maybe how large is this client compared to sales, understanding or assuming that you will no longer be supplying to this client. And then on the fiber cement in the U.S., if you could perhaps explain what's your outlook for 2018, meaning we understand there was a very good first half of the year, so there's a very high comp for these divisions. So how should we think of revenues in 2018, particularly as you have this Indiana ramping up here? Thank you. Hello?
Sorry. Hello, Alejandra. Thank you for your question. Thank you also for your comments. For the first question on metal products, the one-off was $2 million, and as you well mentioned, we are no longer selling to this customer. Even though we are very positive on the trends of volumes for 2018, because we are seeing a strong recovery in oil and gas and marine applications for the U.S., also a recovery in the construction industry in Mexico.
Okay, Alejandro, this is Fernando. Going to the second question, we are very optimistic about the cement operations in the USA. We continue to see positive trends in terms of demand, and we believe that there are very big opportunities in the region. Likewise, as I mentioned before, we are taking the actions. So we have been working very hard with our assets, which were in a worse condition than we originally thought about. So we have invested a lot in our assets and in our team. So we are optimistic about the future that we will have with this operation.
Thank you very much. And perhaps some color on the fiber cement. How should we think of normalized revenues here for 2018? I mean, what are you expecting for this year there?
Thank you, Alejandra. For building systems, our expectation for the U.S. is also positive. As we mentioned, we just reopened the Indiana facility, and we're expecting to run at close to break-even level at the beginning. And it ramps up, it will improve margins for the country. It is also important to highlight that, as we mentioned, in 2017, we kind of invested in OPEX of additional logistic costs mainly, and also OPEX for the reopening that we will not have in 2018. So the overall outlook is positive, but for the first quarter, it is not that positive because of harsher winter.
Thank you very much for your answers. This was very, very helpful.
Thank you.
And your next question comes from Mauricio Sedna with UBS. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. First, I would like to talk about the working capital investments that you showed this quarter. I know you explained, you know, that most related to the metals and the building systems division. Just wanted to know if you see this as something that is recurring, you know, given what you're expecting on the copper prices or any additional investments that you might be doing. And also wanted to ask about what is your view on the outlook on the demand on the East Coast in the U.S., you know, given that you're mentioning that the winter could be continue affecting. So what are your expectations for volumes this year in that in the U.S. cement, also assuming that you're considering some market share recovery, you know, after the investments that you've done on the giant assets? And finally, if you could provide us maybe some color on what you're seeing in the construction industry in Mexico cement. I mean, it's been a very strong year last year, so but that also sets very tough comps for you. So what are you thinking in terms at least of industry growth and the pricing dynamics that you've seen so far in this year? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mauricio. For your first question related to working capital, as we mentioned, the metal products or the main hit were in the metal products and building systems. For the metal products, it was largely due to the impact on copper price, since we have no control on the commodity pricing. What we are focusing on is the tons and days of inventory that we have and optimizing this light item. So we are sure that there is opportunities there, and we are improving already our inventory levels. Regarding building systems, the main reason was the change in technology that has additional conversion or production time about a week longer. That is also increasing our inventory. Now, we see very important opportunities in building systems to reduce inventories by a better demand planning and better operational performance. 2017, as we mentioned, was a year in which we were running tests with this new technology, and therefore operations were not at normal levels. 2018, as the operations normalize, we are confident that there will be a reduction in inventory. For your question on view on the demand for the East Coast in the U.S., since we did the acquisition of 55% of the acquisition of Giant, we performed some analysis on the market dynamics, and so far this analysis has been confirmed. So we are still expecting that demand for the region will continue growing at about 4% CAGR, through 2020 at least. And in terms of pricing, we're still expecting some 3% CAGR growth for the same time. As we mentioned, we first will catch up with volumes, and this is the target that we have by bringing back the assets to industry standards. So the next phase is recovery volumes, and pricing will come later.
Now, going, Mauricio, to your third question regarding the Mexico cement industry growth. We're aware that there's some uncertainty linked to the upcoming presidential elections. And but you have to bear in mind that our market segment continues to be the self-constructions, whose indicators continue to be quite strong. And so where we see growing demand in the future, where we see that there's going to be growth in this segment in the future. And this segment has proven to be the most resilient throughout the years. No? So having said that, we believe that volume growth and pricing trends look solid in the first half of 2018, but perhaps not as consistently strong as in 2017 due to what I just said about the uncertainty and its tend to sharply decrease government infrastructure projects. Nevertheless, you have to bear in mind that a number of projects, both in private and public, including the airport project, will continue to try to match the demand market demand in Mexico.
Great, thank you. And just very briefly, I assume that given the investments that you're doing in Giant and the other divisions, you're probably not going to do any dividend payments or buybacks, at least for this year, right?
Yes, so far we remain committed to reinvestment of profits, continue the growth, and for this 2018, as you mentioned, we still are going to additional capex as planned for Giant acquisition.
Okay, thank you very much. Very helpful.
And your next question comes from Pablo Carrillo with BBVA. Your line is open.
Thank you. He just asked my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Pablo.
And once again, that's star and one to ask a question. And your next question comes from Jules Proto with BNP Paribas. Your line is open.
Hello, this is Veronica from BNP Paribas. Can you please give us an estimate of your CAPEX needs for 2018 and, if possible, breaking it down by areas? And if you can also comment a little bit of what's your like normalized working capital that we should be considering for cash flow purposes, given that last year it was more of a ramp up in terms of inventory buildup. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Jules. Regarding CAPEX, we roughly have about $60 million for maintenance and bolt-on expansions that we constantly do year after year. And on top of that, we have about $30 million for Giant's program to continue with the plan to upgrade the assets. Regarding your question on working capital, we believe that we can reduce inventories at about 5 to 10% to a more normalized level. Now, it is important to mention also that as we are planning to increase volumes in Cement Mexico, Cement US, Building System US, you might expect also some increase on working capital linked to that. Nevertheless, we are expecting this 5 to 10% reduction in inventory.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And your next question comes from Hernan Kisluk with MetLife. Your line is open.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. It's regarding the building systems division. I've seen in the report that there were several one-offs affecting the EBITDA margin for this quarter. like issues in Colombia, product recalls, the Indiana ramp up, and other issues. Could you quantify what were the main items that affected the EBITDA this quarter?
Hi, Hernan, and thank you for the question. Sure. Going or trying to go as detailed as possible, the one-off that we mentioned for the Colombian operations was close to $3 million, and that was largely due to a recall that we performed because we saw we realized that we have some quality issues, and we decided to go on and make the recall. On top of that, we also have the pre-opening expenses in Indiana in the U.S. that for the full year was close to $3.5 million also. And also, it is worth mentioning that given that we have change, or we have done this change in technology for building systems in the full operations during 2017, the additional cost of this was close to $10 million.
And maybe I would like to expand on that, Hernan. As you know, we developed this new fiber cement product, which has had a very good acceptance. And it has been very encouraging, and it's mainly because of the many benefits that this technology brings. This technology has less breakage, it's more manageable, and it has a better look and feel. So we are very confident about the decision we have made. So we foresee a bright future here, but we are still going through the learning curve, and that's why we have this additional costs.
And I mean, it's okay, obvious, excellent. But I would like to highlight that without this one-off, the year would have shown double-digit growth in terms of EBITDA.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And once again, that's star and one to ask a question. And there appear to be no further questions. I would like to turn the call back to CEO Fernando Ruiz for any closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. We're very pleased with the results and progress made in 2017, especially given the load of big projects and initiatives we embarked upon last year and the challenges faced, such as rising volatility and energy costs, geopolitical problems, and natural disasters that prevailed in the regions in which we operate and overall characterized in 2017. I trust that 2018 comes with very challenging, but at the same time, very interesting and promising projects for Elementia. And while you can expect us to continuously explore growth and expansion opportunities, we perceive 2018 as a year of consolidation, aggressive brand positioning, further innovation efforts, and restructuring of staff across the divisions and corporate level, as well as continuous transformation of our organizational culture centered at two levels, being the supplier of choice and the best place to work. You have our commitment to keep you updated on the progress achieved, as we are determined to continue to solidify our communication bridges and on being closer to the investor community. So once again, thank you. Thank you all for your interest in Elementia. If you have further questions, please do not hesitate to contact Juan Francisco, Alfredo, or myself. Have a nice rest of the day.